This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Although the frontier is long gone, the American West holds on to some of its roots. Whether it's through literature, fashion, or food, there is a Western style, a way of connecting to the land that remains distinct. This week, Morning Edition marks the opening of NPR's new production facility in Los Angeles, with profiles of people who draw their inspiration from the landscape, resources, and culture of the American West. Today, the story of Yvon Chouinard, who was a world-class climber until he came up with a better way to make outdoors equipment. The owner of the Patagonia Clothing Company, Chouinard wants to find a better way to run a business. NPR's Robert Smith reports from Ventura, California.
As soon as he gets up in the morning, Yvon Chouinard is out checking the surf from the deck of his California home.
Yeah, this is pretty good. The waves are about 4 feet, maybe occasional 5 foot set.
Chouinard is legendary in the outdoor recreation world for many things. His early days as one of the nation's premier climbers, his innovation in building mountaineering gear, and the founding of a clothing company bearing the name of a remote region of Argentina, Patagonia. But at 64 years old, Chouinard has mostly given up the mountains for the waves.
It takes a different personality. Climbing is a very controlled, move by move. Surfing is a very dynamic, fluid, quick motion, quick decisions.
Chouinard and the company he founded are split between those two personalities, the focus and ambition of a climber, the zen-like patience of the surfer. Like most of what Chouinard has done in his life, it takes a good sense of balance. Chouinard isn't the only one that's noticed the good waves. Word is spreading at his Patagonia company headquarters in Ventura, California.
Showing some 8-10 foot waves, while Ventura still shows about 3 to 4.
Chipper Bell works at the front desk with his surfboard at the ready.
And of course we build them, so we get to build our own toys out here. Excuse me real quick. Good afternoon, Patagonia.
The people inside the Patagonia building are always thinking about what's happening outside. It's a job requirement. After all, their products are designed for the water and the rain and the wind and the snow. Climbing parkas, long underwear, fleece of every weight and thickness. When Chouinard started the company, braving the outdoors meant stiff, itchy wool and plastic parkas. Now it's all about high-tech laminates, like the one being cut in the design shop.
The Holy Grail is the absolute lightest fabric with the best protection you can give me.
Jill Velukis, the director of fabric development, says everything they make has to strike a balance. It's clothing, so it has to look good, but it's also technical outdoor equipment, has to do the job. Like right now, she's working on something that should be simple, fabric for running shorts.
I want it softer, but this one's too drapey. We want some texture and interest, but we don't want it to chafe. So it's this constant, what is the most important function?
That's the way the company was built, by pairing clothing and equipment down to the bare essentials. Yvon Chouinard didn't want to be a businessman. He thought they were greaseballs. Chouinard just wanted to climb. It was the early 1960s, and when Chouinard wasn't climbing something that had never been climbed before, he was tinkering around with the gear.
We made climbing equipment for myself, and then a few friends, and then friends of friends, and first thing you know, you got a business.
Although their first catalog warned customers not to expect speedy delivery during the climbing season, Chouinard was still hanging off of sheer walls and traveling in a van to the tip of South America, surfing all the way, eventually finding the land he would name his company after.
I've fallen in love with the place. I mean, Patagonia is like the American West was 100 years ago.
It wasn't only his wanderlust that set him apart as a businessman. He was willing to admit mistakes. Chouinard Equipment, as it was then called, used to make these little metal spikes known as pitons, which would be hammered into a rock to clamp a climbing rope. But as more people took up climbing, Chouinard started to see a problem.
These pitons would be driven into a crack with a big hammer, and then you'd end up with a kind of a big hole there. When we saw the damage we were doing, we had to find another way of doing it.
Chouinard took his main product off the market and then helped develop a non-destructive piece of metal to do the same job. It was a lesson that would guide the development of the company. Always think about the unintended consequences of what you build. As the company grew, the technical innovation that changed climbing soon started to change the way we dress. Chouinard was always searching for something that wouldn't wear out, something that wouldn't wrinkle, something that would fight off the elements. In the 1970s, Patagonia introduced synthetic pile clothing, what would become the ubiquitous fleece. In the company's fabric lab, a load of fleece has just been dumped into what's called the killer wash.
Looks like like a regular washing machine, but it's not. It's been adapted to run at 24 hours continuously.
Marilyn Camp runs the testing in this room, poking and prodding and pushing fabric to the limit. When Patagonia first started using synthetic fleece, it was almost impossible to find. Their first garments were made from fabric intended for fake fur toilet seat covers. Now they work with fabric scientists to design fleece that is the right combination of warmth and breathability.
Every season we develop probably 40 to 50 new fabrics to use in the line. So there's always something new and cool out there.
And in the history of the company, all that new and cool fabric started to attract a following that was wearing the stuff not just on the mountain, but on the streets. It became stylish, especially in Western cities, to dress for the sport you wish you were doing, even if you were just headed off to work. Gore-Tex jackets showed up at the opera, fleece vests in fancy restaurants. Patagonia even opened a store in Soho.
We're selling dreams to a lot of people. You get the guy who buys one of our guide jackets and he wears it in his Jeep Cherokee, gold edition, driving from New York City to his Connecticut home on weekends. And one of these days he's going to lose 40 pounds and he's going to go climb Mount Rainier or something, you know. And that's fine. People have to have dreams.
But just like those pitons that were destroying rock walls, in the late 80s and 90s, Chouinard became tormented by the damage that even a benevolent clothing company could do. He hated consumerism, but he was selling consumer products. He wanted to run a sustainable company, but they were growing by 40 or 50% a year.
I mean, we're part of the problem, too. I mean, there's no such thing as sustainable development. There's no such thing as making sustainable clothing, any of that stuff. We're causing a lot of pollution and causing a lot of waste. That's just the way it is, and that's we recognize that, and that's why we kind of do our penance.
He decided that he would stop trying to actively grow Patagonia. It was okay to be a profitable company that wasn't trying to corner every market. He pushed for the switch to organic cotton. He decided the company would give away 1% of its sales, about $1 million a year, to environmental groups. And finally, he seemed to reconcile himself to the fact that he was a businessman, just a different kind.
I'm not in business to make money. I've got all the money I want. You know, all I need in life is my surfboard and my fly rod, and so I'm in business to change the business model.
But that's going to have to wait until this afternoon, because on this morning, the surf is up. Chouinard pulls on a wetsuit, pops a couple of ibuprofen, and starts to wade into the water.
For me, going out here, having my back to all the society and everything, is absolute catharsis. You know, I look in this direction, there's nothing to all the way to Easter Island. Unlimited view here. Inspiring for me, anyway.
And with that thought, he points his board toward the horizon and starts to paddle out. Robert Smith, NPR News, Ventura, California.
Tomorrow, the son of immigrant farm workers gives up better-paying opportunities elsewhere to help improve the Appalachia of the West. Photos of the people profiled in this series are at npr.org.